All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 type United States Army aviator a million years ago. And we want to welcome you to our program today. This is our monthly benefits program. So we've got representatives from our local VA hospital. We've got representatives from our local county veteran service office. We've got representatives from Legal Health for Veterans. So we're here to answer any questions that you might have. So, you know, take your pencil and write this down. This is the local number, 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. If you have any questions, give them a call and we'll try to answer them today. As I mentioned, my guests include Chris Arbino. Chris is a public affairs specialist at the Ann Arbor Medical Center. He's a Marine. We've got David Sames, who is with the Washtenaw County Veteran Service Office. He's the executive over there. He's an Army veteran. And of course, our favorite Brigadier General, retired Air Force, Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Health for Veterans. So these people are here. They know a lot and they can help you out. So make sure that you give us a call if you have a question, because we've got some topics we're going to talk about and maybe those will trigger some questions that you might have. Before we get in and start talking with people, we also have a quick interview, Jim Falzone did with Mike Cox, who is an attorney specializing in helping out people with the Camp Lejeune issues. And there's a deadline coming up for that. So we wanted to make sure that you'll be aware of that. So we'll be playing that interview a little bit later as well. So before we get into this, I need to thank our following sponsors for their continuing support of Veterans Radio. We can't do this program without their help. Number one is Legal Help for Veterans, specializing in veterans' disability claims. Give Legal Help for Veterans a call at 800-693-4800 or go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. If you want to do business with the federal government and many corporations and you claim to be a veteran-owned business, these are the people that will certify it as it really is a veteran-owned business. There are some people out there like kind of skirt the issue here. So these are the folks to do that. For more information, you go to their website, nvvdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. The National Vietnam Veterans of America. Never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. For more information, go to their website, vva.org. The Irwin Prescorn American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. We thank all of you for your continuing support. If you would like to support Veterans Radio, please go to our website, veteransradio.org, and click on the donate button. And I'll thank you in advance for anything. Now, on to the questions of what's going on in the world of veterans' health care and disability. So first, I want to bring on a new guy, Boris, and I just threw his name over the other side of the table. Chris Arbino is a public affairs specialist at the Ann Arbor VA. And Chris, I want to welcome you to the program.
No, I really appreciate you having me this afternoon. It's been a good weekend for the VA. We've been kind of all over Southeast Michigan doing events and stuff like that. So.
That's right. Yeah. I met Chris yesterday at a vet fest at the local community college and I met a lot of people. These vet fests, wherever they are around the country, there are great opportunities for you as a veteran to find out what you may be eligible for, what other services are out there. There were so many different things out there I had never even heard of.
Right. Yeah. And even just from VA Ann Arbor, you know, we have the typical services that we bring out with general information and, about the PACT Act and our eligibility, but we also had, caregiver support yesterday. We had a veteran benefits administration table, which is kind of rare, to have with the VHA coupled at the same time. And then also the NCA, the Cemeteries Administration was there with us also yesterday. So we had sort of all three branches of the Department of Veterans Affairs set up answering questions yesterday. Yesterday was a fantastic event. We had enrollments, transfers, all those big things we look to do at those events. So, you know, and the good thing is if you missed us in Washtenaw County yesterday at the community college, we're right back up in Fallibrill next weekend on Saturday for Vet Life up or Vet Fest up there. So that's, I think we'll be set up there, next week, between 11 and 3. And again, eligibility, I know that's always the big one. They can answer all the big questions about, you know, I don't know how to get involved with VA healthcare, all those little things. And we love it because we can enroll veterans right on the spot.
Well, we all know that just getting enrolled is step one.
Right, right.
To everything that, you know, that you may be available for. So what is going on on the VA health side right now? I know that we talked about this earlier about the PACT Act has got another deadline coming up.
Yes, there's, I don't know the exact date. But you know, I guess all related to the PACT Act, something we were talking about was the redesign of the Burn Pit Registry, which kind of falls into that a little bit. So just on August 1st, the secretary announced that there's a Burn Pit Registry 2.0, that'll be going out. So prior, and I think some of the issues that we were having with the first one, it worked out. It did great, but it was very burdensome. It was about 144 questions and you really had to sit there and think about your military history and go through all those things to get through it. So what the update does as of August 1st is it automatically enrolls veterans through that Burn Pit Registry. So I think eventually the plan is that the former survey will be phased out and then we'll have this new 2.0 version. So what veterans really need to know, what they need to understand about it is it will not impact their personal health care, their benefits, anything like that. It does help the VA understand our challenges a little bit better that are facing the veteran population. So it's going to enroll about 5 million veterans across the country. I think there's going to be letters coming out to every veteran that we can get a hold of to let them know about what's going on. And since they're automatically enrolled, the change now is that if you're not comfortable with this, if you don't want your information being shared in this Burn Pit Registry, you can opt out, which takes about 2 seconds. It's a couple of questions. You hit submit and it's done. So that's the big change and one of the big things that happened on August 1st. So that's as far as healthcare, I think that's the biggest thing we're talking about right now.
Well, yeah, I was looking at it here that it's, you know, you can go to va.gov/PACT mm-hmm. to find out more information for you out there. You know, and does this still affect the Agent Orange generation? Are we part of that registry or is this pretty much 9/11?
No, I believe, again, you know, we were talking, it's 5 million veterans. So it's difficult to, I can maybe pull it up online here. I thought I had it pulled up as I was looking at it. But so the groups that are included, and in fact, instead of me getting into the groups, let me just say that you can contact our local environmental health coordinator. All you got to do is call them, say, hey, this is my name, my social, and they'll tell you right then and there if you're enrolled or not enrolled into this new Burn Pit Registry.
Okay, so if I don't do anything, I'm in, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's the new perk to it, I guess, is you're automatically enrolled. There's no going to that website and answering all those questions. You're automatically enrolled. You just need to make the decision on whether or not you want to stay enrolled and opt out. So within the registry, there's no personal health information that is shared within that registry. It's all about your deployments, what branch of service you are in. And then that's shared only with VA researchers or VA epidemiologists so they can make better informed decisions about policy going into the future and better medical decisions, medical policy decisions for veterans going forward.
And Dale, I just wanted to chime in just a little bit. If you're a Vietnam veteran in country, you're if you enroll in the Ann Arbor or in the VA, you're priority group 6 and they're not going to turn you away. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Just want to know. I keep, you know, the funny thing is I keep running into people from the Vietnam era that haven't registered, you know, or haven't even signed up or, you know, signed up with the VA healthcare. And, we keep encouraging people just, you know, at least sign in, you know, get signed up because you never know when you're going to need not just the benefit side of the issue, but maybe you're going to need the healthcare. because you may come down with something that only the VA is really that familiar with.
Right. The big thing we tell people is there's no disadvantage to signing up for VA healthcare. A lot of people think it might affect their private health insurance or anything like that. VA works with your private insurance. So, and you know, you never know. You find out you're covered with something and it brings in benefits or something like that. You get right into VA healthcare. So I can't reiterate enough. There is no drawback. There's no disadvantage to signing up for VA healthcare.
No. And if you end up getting, benefits for a particular condition, your healthcare is free.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. Yep. And, yeah. And even then, you know, copays are very cheap for the most part. If you're using your private health insurance. So, sometimes we're talking yeah. 10, 15 bucks per visit. And you know, as you said, if it's connected, it's usually a free copay, $0 copay.
I like the concept.
Yeah.
And if you're greater than 50%, there's no copays.
Correct.
I got to get over that limit. Not that I have to use it very often. All right. I think that's kind of cool. Is there anything else you can think of that the VA Health Center or any of the VA health side of that wall that we need to know?
Sure. Yeah. A couple other things I wanted to bring up with just a couple of more, events. One, we actually just, Congresswoman Dingell was at the event briefly yesterday. I spoke with her staff a little bit. And so we're, in the early stages of planning a women's, veteran town hall at the Major General Dillard CBOC in Canton, Michigan. I mean, we're hoping to have put that together for August 26th, which is Women's Equality Day. So we're in the very early, stages of planning that. This week we're hoping to have something, put together and we'll start advertising that. So highly encourage everyone to keep up with our socials, especially the women veterans in this area, that would like to come and talk about, our new women's clinic, named after, Brigadier General Falzone, obviously. So that's a great event that we're planning here for the middle, end of the month. And then also I know this doesn't particularly affect, Southeast Michigan veterans, but we love to get the word of mouth out there that we're opening our new Findlay, Ohio CBOC. That's just about, completed as far as construction. And we're hoping to see veterans, coming in there and receiving healthcare towards the end of this month or the beginning of next month. And then we'll have our big ceremonial, grand opening ribbon cutting, at the beginning of October. So we're really excited about that. You know, since COVID and, you know, since I've been here in 2020, I think this is the third or fourth clinic that VA Ann Arbor Healthcare has opened. So, you know, when I started here, it was Jackson, it was Flint, it was Toledo, as far as clinics. Now we have Howell, Adrian, Canton, and now we're down in Findlay. So we've really, really expanded our reach here in the last 3 or 4 years, to put VA healthcare right in everyone's backyard.
Is this, you know, we're very fortunate here, obviously, with the Ann Arbor VA. This is occurring though all across the country. Isn't it with other VA hospitals are setting up these CBOTs everywhere.
Right. Yeah. I see the news clips all the time. I know Battle Creek has just opened a couple of them, recently. And then I had a separate project I was working on, where we went all the way up north, and to Gaylord, and they had a beautiful brand new clinic up there. I think it was only a couple of years old, and that was a fantastic facility. So, you know, these brand new clinics, you know, especially with Findlay, we gutted the building and purpose built it to the way we need it. They're fantastic facilities, very clean, very modern. You know, I can't speak well enough about these clinics and how great they are for our veterans here.
Well, I want to encourage our listening audience, whether you're in Southeast Michigan or not, you know, wherever you are in the country, check with your VA's, you know, healthcare center and see where these CBOTs are, because you may have one closer to you. I mean, the reason behind these was so you didn't have to drive 50 miles, you know, to see your primary care physician and,
correct,
and some other things. So check. And I'm sure that they have, you know, all the different websites that are out there for all of, you know, however many their VA hospitals there are, will probably have a list.
Yep. You go to the location section on our website and it lists it right from the Kettles VAMC in Ann Arbor and then all of our associated clinics. All you got to do is scroll down. A lot of people, you know, just speaking with people yesterday, a lot of, found veterans were, unaware of Jackson and Howell and stuff like that. And then you tell them that and, you know, a lot of the clinics cover the basic day to day services. So you're not driving, you know, all the way to Ann Arbor for a blood draw or something that we can do that's, you know, relatively not complicated. And then, you know, now you're in VA and our healthcare system. And, you know, if you would ever need a higher complexity care, something with cardiology or something like that, then you need to travel. Then we have the Fisher House, which, helps you with lodging if you ever need to travel to Ann Arbor. Because, you know, if you're coming from a couple hours away and you're a veteran that lives by himself, that's a lot of, logistics that you need to figure out. But VA will help you take care of that every step of the way. So, I guess, you know, my big selling point is if you feel like you're far away from Ann Arbor, just keep in mind that we're putting these clinics within a half hour of, densely populated veteran areas. So, you get to those clinics, you do the smaller things. And, you know, if you ever need something a little bit more complex, you know, we've got you. We'll get you to Ann Arbor. We'll get you the help you need.
Well, there are a couple of other things I wanted to mention. You know, it used to be the Veterans Crisis Hotline. Now, you know, we've been promoting the dial 988 and then press 1. So it's easier to remember. You don't have to dial a whole bunch of things. But that's coming up on their second year of operation. And I know that there's a number of veterans here in the local area that are plastering, you know, dial 988 on everything they can find. And I just want to remind our audience, if you are going through some sort of mental crisis, there's help there 24 hours a day, every day. Nobody's, you know, there's always somebody there that you can talk to. And I'm hoping that you will take advantage of that. If you find yourself down that low and you need help, this is a good place to start, because not only can they help talk you down, but they also will be able to direct you to wherever to go to find the help that you need.
Right. With it being the anniversary, we're starting to see some of the numbers and some of the data that people there. I mean, we're thousands of calls to 988. It's very effective. And, you know, just echoing your point, you know, if you find yourself in that situation and in that mental crisis, please reach out. You know, they're there to help you. They're very good at what they do.
Yeah. So it says it's a 23% increase in calls since the introduction of the 988 number. So again, use it. You know, the VA is trying to help you as much as possible. And I know that there is frustration with some people because it's difficult sometimes to get appointments, because sometimes we have a tendency to overwhelm the staff. But they'll get to you. I promise.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess kind of building off that a little bit is it doesn't need to feel like a crisis. I mean, you know, people go through low times that maybe it's not to that level, where you have suicidal ideation. But even if you're feeling through a little bit of depression, anything like that, give that number a call. They're there to help through any, you know, if it's on a spectrum or whatever of where you're at on that, they're there to help with that.
I would think, I mean, I don't know this, and hopefully you can correct this for me, though. If we were talking about homeless veterans earlier, and, you know, if somebody were to call that, I'm sure that they would refer them over to the place to go.
That's correct. Yeah, we have a homeless veteran care coordinator. So, you know, even if you call that number and, you know, they walk you through the situation, the emergent situation that you're in, but then they get to know you a little bit and, you know, figure out what other health services you need to bring you back up. You know, they connect you with that here in VA Ann Arbor. Or, you know, even if you're just listening and you're wanting to talk to our homeless veteran care coordinator, our main number, just give that a call. You know, hey, this is what I need. This is what I'm looking for. And we'll get you in the direction you need to go.
And again, this takes place at all the VA centers across the country. It's not just in Southeast Michigan. So
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for help, and that's the big thing, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yes. We're here for the veterans. Absolutely. Yeah. This is a service that they've earned. You know, they deserve this. They earn this. And everybody, you know, we employ a lot of veterans ourselves. Everybody understands for the most part, you know, the population we're working with, because that's who we are too.
I know. And there are so many things that are going on at the VA. I mean, we just, you know, could just sit here and say, okay, this is what we're doing here. We're doing this for that, and so on and so forth. But that's again why we encourage you so much to utilize the VA healthcare. As Chris pointed out, even if you have health insurance on the outside, you know, and there's the ability to go you know, to a civilian hospital if you need to, if it's an emergency situation. And all you got to do is go through the process, contact the VA that you're there. And there is, if it's been covered at the VA, it's going to be covered there. Mm-hmm. So
I think this is also, a, you know, another good point to bring up is the Compact Act, C-O-M-P-A-C-T. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about the Veterans Crisis Line. You know, if you want to go to an emergency room because you're experiencing these feelings, for the most part, if you qualify, and again, I won't go into the specific details of it, but if you go to any emergency room, whether it's a VA or a private healthcare system, and you're experiencing a mental health crisis, the VA will pay for that. And so, again, that's not just VA hospitals. That's any private hospital within the area. So, again, I'm down here in Toledo, so ProMedica, Mercy Health, anything like that. If you're a veteran, you go there, you're experiencing a mental health crisis, the hospitals already know what to do. You just need to let them know you're a veteran, and they'll help you through the paperwork. And the VA will pay for your stay up to, I think the limit is 90 days. And, you know, don't quote me on that. I don't know the exact number, but it's a expansive period of time where the VA will pay for that. If you're going through that situation. So, if the phone number is not the thing for you and you need to get to an emergency room to get help, the VA will pay for that as well.
Awesome. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here. We've been talking with Chris Garbino, who is a public affairs specialist at the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Chris, I want to thank you so much for dropping in. It's great. I hope you stick around when we go around the corner. So we're going to be playing. I want to go to the interview that we did with Mike Cox. This was recorded by my partner, Jim Falzone. So we're going to play that, and then we're going to go straight to our Medal of Honor for today. And when we come out, we're going to start talking benefits. So again, if you have any questions on benefits, the number to call locally is 734-822-1600. So we're going to be going to that interview right now. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
We want to welcome back to Veterans Radio to give us an update and a call to anybody who's been waiting around too long. This is Attorney Mike Cox back to talk to us about the Camp Lejeune Justice Act. Mike, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Jim, it's great to be back on Veterans Radio again.
Well, this is,
as you know, I'm especially proud because I'm a veteran.
You are. You're a Marine. You got it in the whole family. But we've talked to you in the past about the Camp Lejeune Justice Act, and for those who may recognize his name or his voice, Mike was the Attorney General for the state of Michigan for a number of years, and now is out in private practice doing all kinds of good work on a variety of issues. But one that's near and dear to your heart is trying to take care of some veterans who got exposed to toxic water when they were at Camp Lejeune. Why don't you, with that setup, go ahead and talk to us what's going on?
Absolutely, Jim. You know, and the general in your house knows that long before I was Attorney General, I was the 0311 Infantry Corporal in the United States Marine Corps. And I was stationed on Camp Lejeune in 82 and 83 with the 2nd Marine Regiment. And I was served there during the 30 years where Marines were literally poisoned through negligence and later on kind of wanton disregard by higher ups in the Defense Department. But again, there's now an opportunity for your listeners who haven't done anything yet. The cutoff is August 10th of this year, because it was on August 10th of 2022 where President Biden signed the Camp Lejeune Justice Act in a rare feat of bipartisanship, overwhelmingly supported by Republicans and Democrats, to bring some justice to several hundred thousand Marines, sailors, and employees on Camp Lejeune base between December of 1952 and, August of 1952 and December of 1987, who were subject to horrible toxins, benzene, PCE, vinyl chloride, methylene chloride, DCE, and has led many, many to suffer bladder cancers, esophageal cancers, kidney cancers, Hodgkin's disease, Parkinson's, bile duct cancer, and a variety of diseases that the federal government has admitted through its own studies were directly related to the water that we all drank, either out of water buffaloes or in KP duty or just in showers while we were at Camp Lejeune.
Yeah, it's really amazing the extent of time and the different ways people got exposed. But Congress finally stepped in and said, okay, we're going to give a limited opportunity for Marines, and I want you to expand who can file claims, but Marines who were there during that period to file claims down in administrative process, but really this goes to North Carolina. Who can file claims, and what do they have to do by August 10th of 2024?
Okay, so anyone who was at Camp Lejeune for at least 30 days between August of 1952 and December of 1987, so 30 days on base, and you could be a Marine, you could be a seaman, you know, someone who served as a corpsman or other support services on the base. You could be a civilian employee, or you could be, and we have a number of clients who were family members of Marines or sailors stationed there, especially, you know, children, minors, who many of them who were there with their parents for extended tours. Are some of the most impacted. And it even includes, Jim, civilian employees who may have worked on base during that time. So if you were a Marine, a soldier, you know, who had temporary duty there or training on the Marine base at Camp Lejeune, a sailor or a dependent, a child, a spouse of any of those who did at least 30 days on base between August of 52 in December of 1987, and if you suffered a variety of diseases, and I'll cover some of them, but it's bladder cancer, breast cancer, esophageal, kidney, liver, lung cancer, bile duct, colorectal, there's a series of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, there's also a series of neurological issues like Parkinson's, and other autoimmune diseases, even teeth issues and mouth issues. If there were miscarriages or infertility in your family, all those could relate back to the time at Camp Lejeune. And now that we're in the last 10 days, if someone in your family or you, were impacted, I suggest you call a lawyer. Of course, we'd love you to call our firm. And our number is 734-591-4002, or go on to our website at mikecoxlaw.com. But it's really, look, I'm a Marine. I want all Marines or sailors who are impacted to get some help, or their family members. So if you don't come to us, talk to somebody soon. You go online. There's a ton of firms out there that can help you out. And it's very, very important you do that over this next 10 days as we head up to the deadline.
And I want to get across to people, even if your dad is dead, he was a Marine, you understand he was at Camp Lejeune, the spouse, the children still have an opportunity to file this claim. They may be the ones sitting on the sideline going, well, dad's dead. You still want them to get in touch with you, right, Mike?
Absolutely. Wrongful deaths are a big chunk of our client base. And, you know, for people who lost those extra years with a loved one, a parent, that's a serious blow. And as you know, Jim, in the civil law, that's a very common claim. And that's part of the Camp Lejeune Justice Act. And the most important thing is don't wait. Reach out now. Another thing is a lot of people think this will impact any VA benefits that they may get. It will not. Let me repeat this. Will not impact your benefits. There's no cost to you. There's no downside. You should do it for yourself, do it for your family, and certainly make the call or send the email in these waning days before we come to the end, you know, August 10th, which is a Saturday, to reach out to us or someone else. Because this is Veterans Radio. Jim, you and the Brigadier General bring great advocates for veterans over these many, many years. And I'm glad that you're reminding folks of this very, very important program.
We just wanted to get out this last shout out before the window closes, and that'll be that. You've got to get in now. So don't sit on the sidelines because you think dad's dead or you're not really sure if this is a real deal or if it'll impact your VA benefits. As Mike Cox, former Attorney General, says, it will not. So reach out and let's make sure you get those benefits that you're entitled to under the Camp Lejeune Justice Act of 2022. Mike, thanks for taking some time with us on Veterans Radio today to get the word out.
And thank you, Jim. And
the Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Marine Corps Sergeant Daniel Matthews became a one-man army before being killed. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Participating in a counterattack against a firmly entrenched and well-concealed North Vietnamese force, Matthews fearlessly advanced in the attack until his squad was pinned down by a murderous sweep of fire from an enemy machine gun. Observing that the deadly fire prevented a corpsman from removing a wounded man in an open area, Matthews worked his way to the base of the hostile machine gun emplacement, leaped onto the rock formation surrounding the gun, and single-handedly charged the hostile emplacement with his rifle. Although severely wounded when the enemy brought a withering hail of fire to bear upon him, he continued his one-man assault, and firing his rifle with deadly effectiveness, succeeded in killing two of the enemy, routing a third, and completely silencing the enemy weapon, thereby enabling his comrades to evacuate the stricken Marine to a safe position. Matthews succumbed to his wounds before aid could reach him.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and it's our second half of the program. We'll be talking about benefits. If you have any questions, you can still give us a call. The number here locally in Southeast Michigan is 734-822-1600. Our guests today include David Sames. David is the Director of Veterans Service Office here in our local Washtenaw County. We've got retired Brigadier General, United States Air Force, Carol Ann Falsone from Legal Help for Veterans. And we've still got Chris Arbino on the line from the VA hospital here in Ann Arbor. So, Carol Ann, I'm going to go to you first. Anything new in the benefits field that we should be talking about?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I love some of the stuff that Chris brought up, and, I really did like the interview with Mike Cox because that was a great update, and that, you know, it truly affects the VBA side, the benefit side, and it really affects the VHA side. And so, you know, we're all together on this. What a great team trying to help our veterans. The VA put out, you know, and I know we talk about it, Dale, a lot, but the VA put out a great piece a week or so ago about the VA benefits to spouses and what they might be entitled to, whether if somebody perished while they were serving or after, if they were connected disability-wise. And we've talked about that a lot. Unless you, you know, call and ask us. There might be education benefits for spouse and children. There might be housing benefits, but unless you ask, you never know. And so, I think that's a great thing. And, the one thing that I see really going rampant along with the aid in attendance is kind of the branch off with the caregivers. It's our number one podcast that's going on right now. And the questions, whether, how do I get help, in the home? How does my spouse or, a significant other get paid for it? I mean, it is a great program, and there's three distinct elements within the caregivers. And, I would say to anybody, do not do it by yourself. Do not go to the national level first. I'm finding that, and Chris is smiling. This is the biggest reason, that some of our clients are being denied, because they're doing it on their own. And you know what? You should be starting locally with your own team, your physician, your primary care, your nurse, and your social worker. This is a social worker program at the VA, and they are awesome to help you with this. So start at the local level. That's where it could be approved. First level, ground roots. And so that's what I would encourage our listeners to do. If you need help with caregivers, go to your team at the VA.
And a question about that. I was thinking as you were talking, suppose I, you know, I signed up, you know, become eligible at the VA, but I never really went there for any reason. And I die. Can my dependents or spouse would you advise that maybe they contact the VA and see if there's something that they may be eligible for?
That, or a county counselor, VSO, Legal Help for Veterans, or the VA. The VA has reps there for eligibility. Mm-hmm. I think the beautiful thing is every person has their own story. You might have a disability and you died, and your passing was because of that disability, because you served. You never know until you start to peel back the layers of the onion and find out what that person's story is. You know, it always is real interesting when particularly men will call and say, I served next to this person and they got 60%, or they got, and now Dave is smiling, and 50%. And so I was right next to him. And so we have the same stuff. And so I want that disability. No, it's not like that. You know, each of you have your own story, and we want to help you, but you got to tell us your story, and then we'll help you and get you those benefits that you're entitled to.
Okay. David, you want to add anything to the general?
No, I mean, that's, you know, with the caregiver support program, when they expanded it, don't quote me on the time frame, but it was probably a couple years ago, where their main focus was for post 9/11, but now they expanded it more and more. And the general brought up that I didn't even know, because it's a really easy portal to apply. But if a lot of them are getting denied, I can see why it'd be beneficial to go through your doctor and also your social worker to build that case in order to say, hey, this caregiver is doing a lot of work for the veteran, and they need to be paid for it. So, a lot of good information that, you know, like I say to everybody, I learn something new every day. So
I learned something yesterday at our Vet Fest. There's a company, I'm not going to mention it, you know, on the air right now, but they provide, and I have to get this number right, but they provide free in-home care for a veteran who is disabled, and I think it was over 60%. And I never heard that myself. And I thought that was really important. And, you know, that we're not aware. There's so many of us out there, the veterans and their spouses and community, that are unaware of these benefits that are there for you know, for the veteran themselves. And again, you know, I know I'm repeating myself, but I really encourage our listening audience, for my generation, especially because we're kind of fading away. I realize that, but our spouses are not, and they should be aware that there are certain benefits that they may be entitled to. In a, you know, as you mentioned, the dependent care, even to our benefits that we're receiving.
Yeah. Well, and also I get a lot of calls like, oh, is there any help for, my veteran in home? And I'm like, are you enrolled with the VA? Cause, you have to be enrolled for healthcare services in order to get to get all the benefits to come. Now they have, I believe it's 16 hours where they can have per week where they can have somebody come in. But you have to be enrolled in the healthcare program in order to do that. General?
David, you're right on. I think the real important thing is, being approved by the VA. And through your team. Dale, when you talked about the company, yes, that is correct. However,
I know there's rules.
Right. Well, however, you need to be enrolled, as David said, and I know Chris will validate this. And then through your team, you're approved for the hours of care. So whether it's 20 hours of care, 32 hours of care, then this company is able to come in because they're approved by the VA, and they need to be approved by the VA, almost like contracted out to come right. in then and then perform the duties of your approved, let's say 20 hours a week. And for caregivers to be done, I really need to stress this. It's just not that you need help with somebody to watch you take a shower or somebody to assist you to do your shopping. This needs to be significant activities of daily living. You're probably homebound or you can't drive and, you know, you need assistance with toileting and eating and all of the bathing and all of those necessities, of the basic activities that we take for granted that we do every day. So that's the first step. And when I talk to a family, which they're really discouraged, how come I've been denied? You know, I sit down with them and try to understand their story and their needs because it's activities of daily living. And that's what the first thing is. And then to make sure it's approved by the VA to get those hours.
So do you have to have, a disability claim in already? Or is this, let's suppose that I'm healthy up until I have a stroke for whatever reason, but I'm in the system. I mean, I'm in the system and I have a stroke and we need help. So the VA is willing to my spouse goes through the process, or whoever represents me goes through the process, theoretically that I could get some help.
Yes. And so it depends on if you want to apply for the true program caregivers in one of the three lanes, or if you are enrolled in the VA and with your team, once again, your team knows that you had a stroke and you're on that team, they could approve, just like in a private hospital, to refer you to social work. They will evaluate you at the VA and give you hours of care. So you don't even have to be in the caregivers program to get mm-hmm. approved hours of care in your home.
I think that's really important. And that's something that I want our veteran audience to understand. You know, tell your friends too. You know, if something's occurring to one of your friends who has become disabled, even though they have no history of anything, with the VA at the time, check it out. There's help out there available for you. You know, but you got to go through the process. And that's, you know, that's what some people get a little frustrated by. Well, why should I have to do that? Well, you know, you got 5 million veterans out there and you know, it's, you know, the money is allocated, you know, for the VA and, you know, they need to spend it wisely.
And the process, you need to be enrolled. And I want to say, once again, I'm going to give a shout out. I think the Ann Arbor VA is the best in the country. I referred one of our clients who has just entered hospice. He was not aware of the services of a disability. He's a Vietnam veteran, Agent Orange, the whole shooting match. And I assisted in taking him over to Ann Arbor. He needed his DD-214. That was the only thing he needed. And him and his wife, they got registered because she's a veteran. They got registered. I think it was a 20-minute process. Eligibility was phenomenal. They're on the first floor. You walk in and they got him into the system. He will have his exam and then they're going to decide how many hours of care. Here's a good example. How many hours of care that he could get in the home, because they need help right now. He's just entered hospice.
You know, and we've heard that story more than once. That's you know, one of the issues of, you know, and we've talked about this before, because we know there are some World War II veterans out there, not many, but they're out there. And if they become disabled, then let's say, suppose that their spouse is still alive, 93 is not going to be able to take care of a 95-year-old. So, you know, this help is available. So we encourage, you know, talk it up, folks. If you're listening out there, and you've got friends that are in these types of situations, this is what the VA is there for. You know, not only, you know, for your health care, but also to provide, you know, help in the home. If you get in there soon enough, you may be entitled to disability benefits. And, you know, if something happened to you all the way back in basic training, let's, you know, if you fell off of one of those competence towers, or something along those lines, you know, and hurt your back, but it didn't bother you too much then, they may go back and find that you're, you know, that you are disabled because of that accident. You know, and I know, David, you've run into, you know, some of these stories that you know, we've gone back so many years and you find out, oh, I'm entitled to that because I did this.
Yeah, and it's huge. You know, in Washtenaw County and a lot of other counties in the state, and I hope a lot of counties around the U.S., we get all the death certificates for the veterans that pass away in Washtenaw County. And we send them a letter to invite the dependents to come talk to us to see if there's anything there for them, right? And you'll have a Vietnam vet that never collected a dime, never did anything with the VA. But they pass of a service-connected condition, and that spouse is eligible for benefits going forward. You know, it's tough because when, you know, the veteran dies, so they lose their Social Security. If they have a pension, they might lose that. And so then it just goes, the spouse has to live just on Social Security. And is there any veterans benefits? And that's what we look at. And so that's the key. And also with, you know, I meet veterans that, you know, I've never done anything with the VA, and they have great private insurance, but then my buddies told me to come over and check it out. And, you know, they might have four or five different conditions related to their service. And so that kind of monetary benefit and health care has improved their quality of life. And that's what we're here for.
I admire all the work that all of you do to help veterans. It's just awesome what you can do to help these men and women that are out there. And, you know, you mentioned, Chris, I mentioned that you've got an event that you're planning for women veterans coming up. And I know that there's a lot more of those things going on around the country.
That's correct. Yeah, we have our the town hall, and again, we're working with Congresswoman Dingell on that. Hopefully, she can attend that. But you know, the women's clinic, you know, we talked a little bit about that at the beginning. I think they are providing healthcare services about 6,000 women veterans here around the Ann Arbor VA catchment area, and we're always looking to build that. So, you know, I guess I just want to echo a couple of things that were said that, and you know, I think the VA does great with getting people enrolled, but you know, to what David and to what Carol Ann said, build that local team around you. I'm not afraid to say it as a VA employee to use your local resources to help you through the federal system.
It's a Lambeth. It's a maze. It's like, it's more complicated than those big corn mazes that are coming up right at this time of year.
Right.
You know, to figure out how to get through it. And I think it's, you know, again, we encourage you to utilize these experts. You know, I don't know what the requirements were. I remember talking with David and Carol Ann, you know, the studying that they have to go through and the exams that they have to take to become a qualified veteran service officer is time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do it. We don't, you know, speaking for myself, I don't know how any of this stuff works really. And so I have to depend on them to get me into the system and get me through whatever it is that I need. And it's the same thing that we're telling everybody out there to do.
And let us help you sort out the paperwork. Because when you follow the intent, and that's one thing we were going to touch on is, you know, the, if you filed an intent for the PACT Act at, you know, August 13th, right before the deadline, you want to make sure you file your fully developed claim, right? Because when you file that intent, you have a year in order to file the fully developed claim. And let the service officers help you with that, because you know, they'll send you a big pack of papers and say, okay, you need to fill all this stuff out. And they're like, well, I'm so confused. and same with eligibility. You know, I could fill out that 1010 easy and send it to the Ann Arbor VA, but also they could go to the facility, even the C-Box, and get enrolled. Mm-hmm. And their representatives, all they need is their DD Form 214 and some financial information if you're not service-connected, and they'll enroll you. It's nice and easy. And since our office is really close to the Ann Arbor VA, I just send them over there because the process is seamless when they go over to the VA, right?
Right. And, we, you know, we have a lot of, you know, the advantage of working with your local resources, they have, you know, like Carol Ann has my work cell phone number. And so I've gotten a call from her before about one specific veteran that she was advocating for. So that's the other advantage is that, you know, we all talk, in a professional sense also here on the radio, but, you know, they have our phone number and they know how to, utilize and leverage us to get what they need for individual veterans. So, again, I understand the big VA system can be a little bit complicated. Your local resources will make it very easy, and they literally hold your hand through the process. It can be complicated. They take all the guesswork and all the complications out of it.
Well, I think hopefully we help some people today, and then that they'll call either their local veteran service organization or their officer or Legal Help for Veterans or some of these other organizations that are out there that are designed to help you. So I want to thank everybody for being on the program. David Sames from Washtenaw County, General Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans, and Chris Arbino from the Ann Arbor VA Health Center. So thank you all very much for being on Veterans Radio. And a reminder to our audience is that we do this benefits program for you every month. So it's the first Sunday of the month that we do benefits. So keep that in mind. Write it down. If you come out with a question, send it to either any of us. You know, you can send it through me at dale@veteransradio.org, and we'll get that for you. I got a couple of real quick announcements I got to get out there. Number one is that our major fundraiser is coming up on September 22nd, Radio on the River. Go to our website, veteransradio.org, and you'll be able to see what's going on. We got a great guest, and it's Doug Bradley. He's written all about the music of veterans music, you know, during different various conflicts. So he's going to be there to talk about the music of Vietnam. And other things are going to be there. So mark your calendar for that. And I want to thank everybody because we only had 10 seconds to go. God Bless America Today is Celine Dion. So until next week, this is Dale Thrummer. You are dismissed.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with America.